A new year. I wonder how long it'll take us to write 2021. And I expect many of us are thinking good riddance to 2020. We've got our new calendars. I've got my new diary, all ready for the things that have to be written down or else they'll be forgotten. It's a new start, a new beginning. Yet inevitably the dark shadow of the last year with its griefs, uncertainties, anxieties, and the disappointments still hangs over us, with the expectation that the coming months will continue to be challenging, even with the promise of vaccinations. The early church was not without its dark shadows as well. On the outside, there were the religious and political pressures in lots of different cultures. Persecution was growing. And within the church, there were disagreements on what to believe. There was disunity and disharmony among congregations. And it seems to me that one of the reasons why the Gospels came to be written was to give believers a central focus on Jesus and his teaching. Today we start to look at Mark's Gospel. And during the next 3 months up to Easter, that's going to be the focus of our Sunday sermons. As you may know, Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. Generally, it's agreed that it was the first to be written. It's energetic and fast-moving. As you read it, count the number of times the word immediately applies. I would encourage you to read through it, maybe at a sitting, maybe a chapter a day, and certainly more than just one little short section at a time. And as you read, keep asking yourself the one question: who is this man, Jesus? Mark starts very differently to the other Gospels. There's no nativity, no genealogy, no angelic messengers, no shepherds, no wise men, no escape to Egypt, no childhood. There's no introduction. He's straight in with an announcement guaranteed to grab his listeners' attention. He echoes the first words of Genesis, the beginning of the gospel of, I'd rather not have the word about, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When Mark wrote, not more than 30 years after the resurrection, the word gospel didn't denote a book about Jesus. Rather, it meant the good news, in the sense of a significant event that would change world history, like the birthday of the emperor, Augustus Caesar, or the coming down of the Berlin Wall, or the discovery of vaccines to tame the spread of the COVID virus. We're very familiar with the word gospel, but that very familiarity tends to blunt our ability to see Mark's words for what they are. He's proclaiming good news, breaking news, world-changing news. In one sense, the news is old, for it has its roots in the Old Testament, in prophecy. If you're looking at the passage in your Bible, verses 2 and 3 are a blended quotation, not just from Isaiah, but from Malachi and Isaiah, Malachi 3 and Isaiah 40. They set John the Baptist in succession to Elijah, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. John, we're told, appears wearing clothes made of camel's hair, adorned with a leather belt. We're told he ate locusts and wild honey. Not a one-off bush tucker trial, but for every meal. And all this was a statement that he's in the line of Elijah. Look up 2 Kings 1 and verse 8 to see something similar. More than that, the setting, the desert beside the Jordan, is important. That's a place full of historic meaning for the Jewish people. For hadn't Joshua led the people across the Jordan into the promised land? Hadn't Elijah and Elisha been based there during their ministries? And hadn't the desert been their place of wandering over 40 years? So John's message, a call for the people to separate from their sinful culture, to turn around and to live a life focused on God, that message was the same as Elijah's. So it was an old message, but it was also a new message. For John's baptism of repentance called for people to make external changes to their behavior, just like us making New Year resolutions. I wonder how many of us are actually going to stop eating sweet things from tomorrow, or how many of us are going to take more exercise from tomorrow, or how many of us are actually going to clear out our garage sometime this month. But what Jesus brings is something radically different. He brings a complete inner transformation of our whole lives. Living as disciples of Jesus, living under his lordship, isn't a matter of conforming to a checklist of good practices. As we used to say in this part of the world, it's not just good living. It's not just the things we don't do. It's much more positive than that as we allow God to work in us. As we read through Mark's gospel, we'll encounter religious leaders whose only concern was with external appearances. But we'll also meet some disciples whose lives are being changed by the Holy Spirit. And if we submit to Jesus, he'll be at work in us continually, changing our natural desires, which are selfish, and replacing them with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And in telling this good news, this gospel, Mark wants us to focus on Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. He is the good news. Of course, he's been our focus over this Christmas period. And let's not lose that focus as we take down the lights, pack away the decorations, and tidy up the Christmas tree. If he was Emmanuel then, and he was, then he's still Emmanuel. Do you remember those adverts that encouraged people not to buy puppies as presents? You don't see them much now, but remember, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas. Well, Jesus is not just for Christmas. He's for life. Here's a suggestion. Take your new calendar or your diary, whether it's paper or digital, doesn't matter, and write Emmanuel, God with us, at the top of every day. So whether it's January or March or July, Emmanuel, God with us, is for every day. Some questions as I draw towards a close. All those people, the whole Judean countryside, is what it says in verse 5, and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Why do you think all those people went out into the desert, into the wilderness? Why would they want to listen to the preaching of John, which Matthew implies would be a bit fire and brimstone? Why were they willing to go through the waters of baptism? Why were they willing to set aside their pride and humble themselves? Was it because even before they went, they were already in the desert? Was it because they were dry and barren in their souls? And were they crying out for a word from God? They were just longing to encounter him. Or maybe a question for ourselves. Why be part of this congregation? Why tune in this morning for this service? Can I maybe make so bold as to suggest that at base there's only one real reason? That we too want to encounter God. That we want to hear a word from him. That in the midst of all that's going on around us, all the challenges, all the anxiety, all the disappointments, that we want to hear God speak by the Holy Spirit into our lives, into our society. Does your daily world seem desolate and barren? A place where, even when there's no pandemic, seem to have no refreshment? If so, take heart from this passage. That's the sort of place where God acts. For there is good news. God is amongst us in Jesus. He has come among us. And he's in the business of changing lives. God constantly provides the opportunity of new beginnings. And that's really good news for all of us. So for all of us, let's begin this new year with God. If you'd like to talk to someone about that, please be in touch with Stephen or one of the elders, or send a message on the chat line or through the website. And don't forget, the prayer ministry team is available from 11:30 through to 12 noon. Let's begin this new year with God. As I stand here in the pulpit, the sun is streaming in through the window. God wants his light to stream into our lives, to touch our lives, and to bring light and refreshment into them all. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks that you constantly provide the opportunity of new beginnings, just as you did when Jesus came and John the Baptist prepared the way. We're amazed that that is possible for all of us. Help us to focus on Jesus, your Son, the only Savior. And we would pray that you would come, fill us with your Spirit, that we might have all that you offer us and all that you want to give us, that we might not only be in your family, but know that we are in your family and trust you day by day through all that this year will bring. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.